Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Medical Monday, November 4th. I'm Ray Graff. Support comes from Woodland Pond at New Paltz, a life plan community at the foot of the Schwangunks, near education, the arts, and outdoor activities. Future residency waitlist available, woodlandpondnp.org. Joining us on Medical Monday today is Dr. Matthew Irby. Dr. Irby is a physiatrist with St. Peter's Sports and Spine and Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital. He cares for patients experiencing musculoskeletal pain and injury with a specific professional interest in the care and treatment of joint dysfunction, concussion management, and adolescent athletes. If you have a question for Dr. Irby, give us a call now, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or email voxpop@wamc.org. Back after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us for Medical Monday today is Dr. Matthew Irby. Dr. Irby is a physiatrist with St. Peter's Sports and Spine and Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital. He cares for patients presenting with musculoskeletal pain and injury. Dr. Irby specializes in the care and treatment of joint dysfunction, concussion management, adolescent athletes. He received his medical degree from Stony Brook, completed a residency in internal medicine at John T. Mather Memorial Hospital in Port Jefferson, had a residency in physical medicine and rehabilitation at New York Presbyterian. If you have a question for Dr. Irby, give us a shout, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the program as we roll along here at voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Matthew Irby, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
So you're a physiatrist, eh?
I am, yes.
All right. So explain to me, Mr. Doesn't Know Much About Much of Anything, where physical therapy ends and physiatry begins.
That is a great question. So our physical therapists work very closely with us in physiatry. Our focus as the physicians in physiatry is diagnosing the initial problem. So we run through all the tests that a patient will initially need when they come in with, whether it's pain, lack of function, difficulty performing some of the tasks they want to perform. So we help them to reach a diagnosis. We help with the medical management that can include injections or medications. And then we help guide the physical therapy. So we provide the physical therapist with what's going on, some of our recommendations, and we work with them to make sure our patients are recovering how we want them to.
What prompted you to go into this specialized bit of medicine?
Yeah, it's a not well-known field of medicine.
Yeah.
So when I started medical school, I thought I wanted to do orthopedic surgery. I do like the idea of having a longer-lasting relationship with my patients, and that was something that physiatry offered. We're not just helping them fix one break, one fracture. We're helping them throughout their life find ways to perform the activities, perform the hobbies they want to do, and we're working with them over long periods, which I like.
What's the most common ailment you deal with in the sports and spine field?
Probably acute back pain is the most common that we see. That can be really of any age, our young adults, all the way through our older populations, hurting themselves doing yard work.
Tell me about it, man. Oh, God, yeah, Saturday.
But we see a lot in our athletes, knee pains, hip pains, and then I personally deal with a lot of concussions.
Okay, concussions, a very interesting thing. There's a lot of there's a lot of misinformation about everything out there on the internet, but there's a lot about this that we don't know for sure as a general public. Please give us some guidelines for you get bonked on the head, you're in sports or otherwise. When do you know, okay, this is a concussion, I need to get in for some help?
Yeah, concussions can present in a whole lot of different ways. It can be an acute headache, can be sensitivity to bright lights, can be feeling dizzy. Usually most patients are just saying that they don't feel themselves.
Yeah.
And the real concern is when that's not getting better after a couple of days, especially. Concussions are interesting in that you can strike your head and the symptoms can actually start a day or two later.
Interesting.
So those are really situations where you want to get checked out, make sure you didn't actually cause any structural damage in the brain, and then make sure you're getting guidance on how to recover appropriately because, like you said, that's something that is ever-changing.
What if you do have structural damage to the brain?
Well, that's a whole separate field in terms of brain injury medicine. There's other things we do for that, but that's not a concussion. A concussion, by definition, is a mild traumatic brain injury, which means you didn't damage any of the structure. I describe it as patients often as a bruise or a swelling around the brain without actually damaging the structure of it.
So a concussion happens when your brain rattles around in your skull, basically.
Yeah, there's a couple ways it can happen. It can happen straight from the initial hit that you sustain, or it can happen from what we call the counter coup, which is the strike of the brain against the skull.
Interesting. How much, you know, how do I put this? How much gap is there between brain and skull for this thing to rattle around?
That's a good question. I think that varies from individual to individual. I don't know if I know the answer to that.
Okay. Are you used to the dumb questions now? Because I have plenty more.
I will take them.
Dr. Matthew Irby is our guest from St. Peter's Sports and Spine at Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital. What's new at St. Peter's Sports and Spine?
Yeah, so St. Peter's Sports and Spine is our initiative of physiatrists, sports medicine, and interventional pain. What we're doing is we're trying to treat the acute and chronic pain in the community. That is for joints, that's for muscles, that's for nerves, and that's, as I mentioned, for concussions. We have same-day access, which is one of the new things that we're able to offer. So a patient has an acute pain or something that gets worse that day. If they call our office, we're able to get them in typically within a few hours to be able to see them, to diagnose their problem, and really get the ball rolling on getting them better.
Our number to call here is 800-348-2551. If you have a question for Dr. Matthew Irby, it's Physiatry Today, 800-348-2551. According to the bio sent here by your FLAC, you also do work at Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital. I imagine that might differ a little bit from what you do at Sports and Spine.
Yeah, physiatry is a very broad field in general. So we have physiatrists treating brain injuries, treating strokes, and treating musculoskeletal conditions like ourselves. So over at Sunnyview, a lot of times we're seeing patients that have been hospitalized with some type of problem, and those patients we're working on getting them better in the hospital, working on with the therapist getting them up and moving, getting them back doing the things they were doing on their own at home. And then we're also treating them after they go home. So that can be things like spasticity from a stroke or a brain injury as well.
Do you consider yourself a manager to some extent of the you got a physical therapist on one hand, you got a surgeon on the other hand, and various experts in between. Do you consider yourself sort of a project manager for each patient?
I haven't thought of it in that term. Usually I go straight to the sports term, and I picture myself as the quarterback. So my job is I have the ball in my hand on every play. I have to figure out who needs to get the ball next, how to get them the ball, and how to change the play if we need to at the line of scrimmage. If somebody comes in and thinks that they have a hip pointer injury, turns out it's hip arthritis, we might be going down a whole different route than we intended.
You know, as a Giants fan, and I try not to admit that too often, you watch football and, oh, there's so-and-so's got a hip pointer. Sometimes they come back in the game, sometimes they don't. What is a hip pointer?
Yeah, that's an acute, just a compression injury. That usually is something where the swelling can go down pretty quickly. Now, what we're concerned about is if there's something that's causing some structural damage in the hip, like inflammation of the bone, obviously a fracture or some nerve damage.
Mm. Where have we come and what do we do better now in terms of treatment for concussions that we didn't do 10 years, 15 years ago?
Concussion research has changed a whole lot in the last 15 years. Some of that is really benefit to the research that came out in about 2005, but it is exponentially increased since then. We used to tell kids or our athletes to sit in a dark room and hide away until you felt better.
Yeah.
Turns out that was actually making them take longer to recover.
Really? Why?
We don't really know the reason behind it, but we now follow a protocol we call expose recover, where the idea is there's a threshold of what you can handle in a day, even at your baseline. After a long day, after bright lights and a lot of stress, you're going to get fatigued, you're going to get upset, you're going to get headaches, and you might get dizzy. Well, with a concussion, that threshold is much lower. I don't want people living at the rock concert where they were. I also don't want people living at the dark room. The goal is to get them to live right below that threshold, and that's really what most of the research is telling us is the best way to actually help recover. So we're getting these kids and these athletes back doing cardiovascular exercise, usually within like 48 hours after a concussion.
And how long does it take for the average athlete or the average person who gets bonked on the head and has a concussion, maybe not a terrible one, to recover to the point where they can do physical activity again?
Still very debated. So physical activity is different from returning to the game and feeling back to yourself.
Right.
I want my athletes about 48 hours until they're doing some physical activity. But in terms of full recovery, it can really take anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks to even up to 2 months. And in the rarer and more severe cases, you can look at about a year.
Are you a football fan?
I am.
What's your team?
New York Jets.
New York Jets. Oh, God, you're even worse off than I am. Well, maybe not this year. So has the NFL, and by the way, we're talking to Dr. Matthew Irby today, who is a physiatrist with St. Peter's Sports on Spine and Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital. If you have a physiatry question, give us a call, 800-348-2551, or email voxpop@wamc.org. We'll get to the questions here momentarily. Has the NFL, in your estimation, done enough in upping their game in concussion management?
So it's definitely improved. They have specialists on the sidelines. They're trained to look for these things. They now have to pull athletes out. There's still some deficits. I think we're all familiar with a couple of the Miami Dolphins cases recently.
Did you see that?
I saw both of them, all three of them.
And he was cleared and came back on the field.
Yes.
To me, that was a pretty major red flag. Where do you stand on that?
It's easy with video review. It's easy to Monday morning quarterback. I saw signs of posturing, which is one of the red flag signs.
What do you mean posturing?
That is specific kind of movements that are atypical for a human, patterns where he was kind of flexing his arm and his fingers that most of us don't usually do when we're at rest. That is something that, at least in my high school, college athletes, I would certainly pull them out for.
Hmm.
I would expect he wouldn't pass a concussion test, but there are sideline concussion tests that are given. He must have passed one.
What do they do in those tents? What kind of concussion tests do you do on the sidelines of a game in this mysterious tent that no one ever sees inside?
Yeah, our first priority is always to make sure there's not a real structural injury or a brain bleed. So we're looking at basic functions like ability to move your fingers and toes, ability to track with your eyes, ability to recall basic information. That's really our main first step. And then we're looking at other signs that maybe a concussion has occurred, things like being dazed, things like having difficulty with coordination, sensitivity to bright lights, or changes in kind of eye tracking ability.
I mean, brain bleeds, that's not necessarily a good thing. I mean, if you're on the sideline in the tent, you don't have an MRI. How do you make that on-the-field judgment?
You don't. And our mantra is always, when in doubt, sit them out. So if there's even a suspicion, we're sending them to get something like a scan. There are signs that can raise your suspicion for that. But any suspicion that I would have would be a CAT scan right away in the emergency room.
All right, let's take a quick break here. Then we'll get to the phones and the emails. 800-348-2551 is the number. And the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Physiatry today, Dr. Matthew Irby, and your calls coming up. It's physiatry today. Dr. Matthew Irby is with us from St. Peter's Sports and Spine and Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital. Let's do a couple emails here at voxpop@wamc.org, and then we'll jump to the phones. This one is from Marion. I have severe soreness at the top of my hip, and I think I might have piriformis issues. I lose a lot of sleep, can't sleep on that side where the soreness is. I've tried Tylenol, Advil, and Aleve. I only get temporary relief. I've had this for over a month. Walking is painful. Any ideas?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this is actually a common complaint that we see in the office. It does get blamed on piriformis syndrome a lot.
And what is that?
Piriformis syndrome is an entrapment of the piriformis muscle, which is one of your lower gluteal muscles. It can pinch the sciatic nerve in the
okay.
low back.
All right.
We like to blame it for a lot of pain. It is not typically the cause. Of course, the only way to find out is really to do a full physical exam, get a better history. But there are a lot of things in that region, especially it sounds like in your case, maybe the gluteal tendons. Now, that's just based off of one sentence, but that's what I'd be suspecting might be causing your pain or something affecting the greater trochanter. This is certainly something that I would bring up with your primary care doctor. And if you're not really getting as far as you want, that's something where speaking with a sports medicine specialist might be a good idea.
You mentioned sciatica, and I'm not exactly sure what sciatica is, but a lot of people say, I got the sciatica, it hurts. That's not always the case, right? It gets blamed for a lot of things that is, it's not necessarily sciatica.
Yeah, sciatica is a broad encompassing term that we use To describe what we call in the medical field a radiculopathy, typically, which is nerve pain running down the leg. Now, those nerves come from the low back, they run up and down the spinal cord, and then they come out through these little channels. We call them the neuroforamen, and they can really get pinched anywhere along the path. They can get pinched at the nerve in the leg called the sciatic nerve as well, and it causes this radiating kind of burny, tingly pain down the legs.
Yeah.
So sciatica can encompass a few things. We really do need to figure out where that pinching is occurring to really get a better idea of how to treat it.
Number to call here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Matthew Irby is our guest. Dr. Irby is a physiatrist with St. Peter's Sports and Spine and Sunnyview. Let's see, one more email, and then we'll go to the phones. This is from Peter. Peter in Albany. I'm 74 years old. I've been diagnosed with knee bone-on-bone arthritis. I use an elastic brace during doubles tennis, and I'm fairly okay with the slower movement and minor pain. Of course, the possibility of knee replacement has been discussed, but I'm hesitant. Two questions. If I eventually decide to have a replacement, is it better to do that sooner or later? Am I doing any damage that will compromise any future knee replacement?
That's a great question, and a question that we get quite a bit. Usually what we're doing in our clinics is managing patients before their replacements. A lot of patients are still active, still working, still participating in sports like tennis, and we're getting them through because maybe at some point in their life they will need a replacement. What we're really looking at, though, is not the x-ray, right? The x-ray may say bone on bone.
Mm.
What we care about is your function and your pain. And if you're able to function and you are able to tolerate the pain, our job is to make that better, whether that's from injections or medications. Now, I think the second part of that question is, are you going to make things worse by waiting?
Yeah.
We don't expect that to be the case. Of course, that's a question for your surgeon because other factors can come into play as you get older going for surgery. But in regards to the knee, we don't expect that it's going to worsen anything. In fact, we used to think that walking, running more actually led to more knee arthritis. We're finding that that's actually not really true until you get to our ultramarathoners. Strengthening the quadriceps, doing walking, doing light running can actually help strengthen that area and prevent the arthritis from progressing as quickly.
What do you consider to be light running?
That's a great question. Pretty much anything below a half marathon, typically.
Okay, fair enough. Dr. Matthew Irby joins us today. We'll go back to the emails later, but right now, let's go to Northampton at 800-348-2551. Diana, you're on.
Oh, hi. I twisted my back pretty badly 2 years ago. I went to physical therapy and so on and so forth. I haven't seen a physiatrist, but I've seen various orthopedists. And as that slowly started getting better, I had a couple of falls, which crippled the other side. So I'm in pain a lot, and I want to know what is going on there. No one has given me an overall picture of what it is. Is it stenosis? Is it injury to, you're talking about the hip area? And how do I go about doing that? How do I go about finding someone? I'll do that. I went to a physiatrist once after the fall, and he didn't say anything about anything.
Nothing at all. Was he a mime physiatrist?
Well, almost.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Doc. What do you think?
Yeah, Diana, thank you for calling in, and I'm sorry for what you're dealing with. A twist in the back and that type of pain can be really frustrating. It's something we do see a lot. The first answer is to figure out what is going on. Is it stenosis? Is it something else? There's a few issues that can come up in the back, from the bones to the discs to the nerves themselves. My suggestion would be to see a qualified sports medicine physician or a physiatrist to work on getting a better workup, whether that's imaging or just a thorough physical exam. And you definitely want to go somewhere where they're going to work with you at both explaining your symptoms to you and coming up with a treatment plan, because having an understanding of what you're dealing with is really going to help you get better. If we send you on your way and don't really give you that full information, it can be hard for you to really know what to do.
Diana.
Well, I think that there's one physiatrist near where I am, and then there's another one about 30 miles away. Do I have to insist that I want to work up? How do I go about doing this? Because so far, after all this time, Not much has changed.
Yeah, other specialties you can look into that might be more readily available would be a family medicine sports physician, or possibly an interventional pain physician. I'm not sure what the availability is in your area. And of course, every physician is going to be different, but definitely want somebody who's going to work with you.
All right, Diana, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. That's the number on this edition of Medical Monday. Dr. Matthew Irby joins us today from St. Peter's Sports and Spine. Let's go to someone who's in the car. That person is Clementine. Now, you're in the car. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Clementine. Thank you for taking my call.
Splendid.
The background is I have an L3, L4 facet joint failure from decades ago. Dr. Alan Carl inserted an X-stop, which helped, but I'm having problems with it, and I can't find anybody who wants to take me on short of reinforcing my spine, which I'd like to avoid, and I wondered if you had any thoughts on the subject.
Yeah, this is a condition that we commonly see is somebody who's had a chronic back injury that isn't getting better, and they don't really know where to turn or what to do. Certainly, seeing a sports medicine physician or a physiatrist is a good option for you here, just so you can get that kind of thorough workup, see if it still is that L3, L4 problem that you mentioned, or if maybe there's something else that occurred. To figure out how to kind of go after the facets. And there are options up to, of course, and including surgery. Those things can be medications. Those can be injections. It really depends on your case.
Well, thanks for that option. I had not heard the phrase physiatrist until recently. So I'm in Schenectady. I will investigate you guys and see what you might do for me.
We're right around the corner.
You got it, Clementine. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. So Clementine mentioned not being particularly enamored with the idea of reinforcing the spine. How do you reinforce the spine?
Spine surgery is a whole different field. It can come with some risks, of course, so a lot of patients want to avoid that. It can also come with known, you know, side effects or adverse effects. It's a big surgery to get. So what we're working with is reinforcement by training the muscles. So there's a couple ways you can do that. That's usually strengthening the core. You know, a lot of us are trained to think that your spine is supposed to hold yourself up, or if you're not holding yourself up well, you're slouching, it's because you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Really, you have this set of muscles in your core that wrap all the way around like a corset. It's not just the front that's the core. And when you tighten it like you would tighten a belt, that helps hold you upright. That helps to reinforce some of the structure so that you're not putting quite as much pressure through the spine, through the discs, and subsequently through the nerves.
Interesting. 800-348-2551, the number if you have a physiatry question for Dr. Matthew Irby. So Clementine also said, you know, I have never heard of physiatry. Do you feel underappreciated, or is this so new that no one knows what it is?
So it's not new. However, it's certainly new in some areas. My parents, in fact, had to ask what a physiatrist was.
Ah.
When I was graduating residency.
I mean, they probably put you through medical school. I don't know, man.
So we're not well marketed. You know, we practice in a very specific niche in medicine. I think we're getting ourselves a bigger name, and we're really trying to help those patients that are kind of stuck in that middle ground, which it sounds like a lot of patients are, and we know a lot of patients are, of trying to find the answer to fix their pain, maybe not ready for something or not needing something like a surgical intervention. And we're usually that middle ground, and we're usually a lifelong resource to help prevent future pain.
Let me ask you a question just anecdotally here. You see a lot of athletes. Is summertime outdoor sports a worse time for injuries, or is it winter sports?
It's fall, always
fall. Fall? Why fall?
Rugby, football, and then as we go into wrestling season, those are some of the higher athletic injuries that we see. We do work with a lot of the college hockey players in the area, so we do see a lot of injuries in the winter as well. Fall and winter definitely tends to be our highest.
What's the sport with the highest incident of injury requiring your services?
The highest incident is wrestling, but what I see the most typically in the area is rugby.
Interesting.
Yeah, a lot of concussions, smacking heads on the ground, especially in our high school athletes, but rugby's right up there.
What about full contact pickleball?
I haven't seen enough of that yet. Maybe we need to advertise it.
The old people bashing each over the heads with a, it's something. Patrick in North Adams writes, would a physiatrist deal with cubital tunnel ulnar nerve impingement causing head numbness? I've had a nerve conduction test and was given two options, deal with it or surgery. And that's from Patrick.
That's a fantastic question. That is something we deal with that people don't always think about is the nerve pain. So we also do nerve conduction tests if they're needed. That's great that you already had one and was diagnosed. And we can do management pre-surgery. Mm-hmm. That may have been things you've already tried, certain occupational therapy or exercise techniques, certain bracing. But those are things that we certainly do manage, and cubital tunnel syndrome we see quite a bit.
All right. Phyllis in Scotia writes, my husband's a healthy 75-year-old. He recently had blood clots in his left non-dominant arm. The vascular team treated him and said they saw a stricture near his clavicle narrowing the vein, causing clots, He's on Eliquis now, feels fine. This condition is usually in young athletes. It's hard to find information on outcomes for older non-athletes with this. The surgeon wants to remove his first rib. Sounds drastic and risky. Is this something a physiatrist could work with?
That's a great question. So clots, things like maybe what you're describing as thoracic outlet, things like that are things that we find, things that we diagnose, but we usually do defer to our vascular colleagues for treatment of those. We deal with a lot of muscles, nerves, bones, and joints. We don't deal quite as much with the vascular system, so that's veins and arteries with problems in there.
You know, thoracic outlet, I've been a baseball fan for 55 years almost now, so I never heard of this until Matt Harvey went down with it in 2017, 2018. Now it's quite common. Was this just something that was not diagnosed, or did it have a different name way back when?
I think we've diagnosed it. It maybe just wasn't popping up quite as much. There's a couple different ways we describe thoracic outlet, and it's still a tricky to treat condition, truthfully. So there can be vascular thoracic outlet or a more structural thoracic outlet. And really what you're describing is a pinch of the nerves that come out through the spine and then go down the arm.
That, it's really a game ender, right? If you have that and you're a professional athlete or you're a high-level athlete, you're never going to be the same after that, are you?
It depends. Nerve injuries are very difficult to predict. It can depend on the severity of the injury. It can also depend on the length of time of the injury. And then it can depend on the individual themselves. So if you have a pinched nerve, there are multiple levels to that nerve. I tell people to think of a nerve as like a cable.
Yeah.
And if you just strip the outer lining, it tends to recover well. If you sever the whole thing, it doesn't heal quite as well because now you have two different pieces.
Right.
And so it really depends on how much you injure it. And also it depends on the person and how long it's been pressed.
Dr. Matthew Irby joins us today from St. Peter's Sports and Spine and Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital. One more email, then we'll go back to the phones, then we'll take a break, and then we'll do the whole thing again. This one's from KMG. Brain injury, is the subject heading. I was hit in the forehead forcefully with a baseball bat at the age of 4 or 5. Then in 1957, at age 6, I was in a highway washout at night, riding in the middle of the front seat, no seat belts, and hit the ditch, flattening four front top teeth to the roof of my mouth. My teeth left quite a dent in the metal dashboard. Are there any current tests to see if there is a residual sign of either or both injuries? Any suggestions moving forward? And that's from KMG.
I do appreciate the question. These are the tricky ones where we walk that line between concussion and brain injury medicine.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trained in concussion, typically concussion in sports. I do have colleagues that work with me at Sunnyview who specialize specifically in brain injury medicine, things like this that are lasting injuries, more severe injuries.
Yeah.
And that's who I would direct you to, is a brain injury doctor. Now, there are brain injury physiatrists, and I would direct you to look into somebody for brain injury like that in this case.
All right, let's grab one more call. We'll take a break, and then we'll go back to the phones and such. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Matamoros, Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on.
Does fish oil and perniculates burny do anything much for chronic pain?
Hi, Jim. This is Dr. Irby. Thank you for the question. It's a good question. So we look into a lot of different supplements in terms of managing pain, and the research is very mixed. What I tell people with fish oil specifically is typically, as long as everything else is kind of in line with your primary doctor, it's a safe substance to take and to try. I just wouldn't put all the stock in that being the cure-all solution for your managed to pain. And I certainly wouldn't put it as a replacement for seeing a qualified physician if you do have pain that needs to be worked up.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Fish oil for pain? This is a new one on me. I know if you have high cholesterol, you could try the fish oil or this and that, joint pain. But generalized pain and fish oil, what's the deal?
Yeah, it's something that patients certainly are trying, that there's information about there on. But truthfully, our research isn't very strong as far as I've seen on just using fish oil for it.
Let's take a break. Dr. Matthew Irby is our guest. It's physiatry on the program today. 800-348-2551 or email us voxpop@wamc.org. Back in a flash. Yeah, buddy. Terry Gibbs. Things ain't what they used to be here on Vox Pop. It's a Medical Monday. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Matthew Irby joins us. We talk physiatry on this program. Anything that we haven't touched upon so far you want to bring up before we go to the next call?
I feel like we've spent a good amount of time on back pain, which is great. I just wanted to shout out some of the other things that we see.
Sure.
So we treat pretty much any joint, shoulders, hips, knees, even fingers, toes. So we see patients with things like carpal tunnel syndrome is another nerve injury we see a lot of. We do see a lot of ankle and foot issues as well. So things like plantar fasciitis, posterior tibial tendon disorder. And we do have a couple of unique treatments, things like a shockwave therapy machine. And we're getting into now doing PRP.
All right, you have to now. That's platelet replacement.
That's pretty close. Platelet-rich plasma.
Ah, okay, fair enough. So, what is the shockwave therapy?
Yes, that's a great question. So, shockwave therapy, we call it extracorporeal shockwave or ESWT. It's something that we've been doing, especially for foot and ankle issues, for a good number, at least 10 to 15 years of research on. That's now being applied to other tendons. And what it is if you've seen something like a Theragun or a high-frequency massage gun, it's a little bit like that, but it's our industrial medical version. And what we're doing is for tendon issues or plantar fascial issues, we're actually creating an inflammation in the area. So a lot of times somebody with plantar fasciitis or a tendon problem, it's become this chronic recurring problem. And we think of it often as almost a mishealing or a malhealing that's continued to present its head. And what we're doing is we actually micro-injure it and create these areas of inflammation and allow your body to recruit healing factors in an attempt to kind of re-heal that in a better, more effective way.
What causes plantar fasciitis and why does it? I have it in my left foot. It's fine during the day, but when I wake up in the morning,
yep,
before I get out of bed, it hurts like a son of a gun, and then it goes away. How did I get this, and when will it go away?
That is the classic description of plantar fasciitis. First thing in the morning, step out of bed, your feet touches the floor, and you scream right away.
Well, I don't scream.
Fair enough. But typically what it's coming from is some type of gait biomechanic alteration. And when we say gait biomechanics, we mean the way you walk and we move your body.
Yes.
Some of this is genetic and structural. Some things like weakness in the tibial tendon, which actually holds your arch up. So we know that we all have different arches. And we see plantar fasciitis a lot in our patients with flatter feet. Now, high arches can present their own problems, but flatter feet and breakdown of that posterior tibial tendon can really put you at risk, as can a tight Achilles muscle or a tendon.
So that's going to go next. Oh, that's great. Thank you for that. You know, I do walk like a Neanderthal, so it's probably a gait issue. All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-3, and thank you for reassuring me. 800-348-2551 is our number. We'll go to Michael in Adams, Mass. Michael, you're up.
Hot dog, how y'all are?
All right, good to talk to you.
I have a question, but first I want to tell you how grateful I am that at 73, I finally found out that when it comes to podiatry, it's not just the feet, it's so much more. And the other thing is that full contact pickleball,
yeah,
that can be a real pain. I'm calling because many years ago, down in South Carolina, I was working, not working, but I was learning how to become an offset press operator, a printing press operator, and I was on my feet all day long during that time that I was at the school.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of problem being able to just stand on my feet. And it was diagnosed by a doctor, not a podiatrist.
Okay.
But he said, I think that you could benefit by having inserts in your shoes that would help spread your metatarsals. And I tried it for 2 weeks. Nothing. But I would like for the doctor to explain what that was all about.
Okay. Maybe 2 weeks wasn't enough. But all right, Doc, go ahead.
Hey, Michael, you have a good question. First, I do want to clarify. So podiatry is just foot medicine. We do physiatry, which sounds the same, and I can see how that can easily be misconstrued. But we focus on a little more than just the feet, and we can help a little more with your back. Now, we were just talking a little bit about gait issues and gait biomechanics, and sometimes we are using foot orthotics to correct that. And we talk about something called the biomechanical chain, which is basically every joint is connected. You know, the hip bone is connected to the knee bone.
Yeah, just don't sing.
That's I'm not planning on
that. Okay, good, good.
And so the inserts can certainly play a role, but if you're still having back pain at this point, I would also look a little deeper to see if there's something else going on, to see if there's something structural in the back, to see if there's something in the hips or in the muscles. So I think rather than just trying the inserts, it might be worth getting more of a workup right now.
And Michael, let me just follow up here. We do have a great podiatrist, Dr. Douglas Tooman, who comes on a few times a year, and I'm sure he's scheduled in the next few months. So if it's still bugging you, man, give him a call when he is on next. Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. That's our number. It's Physiatry Today with Dr. Matthew Irby. And now we go to Warwick, New York. Harvey, you're on.
Yeah, and it's not the Harvey baseball guy you mentioned.
Oh, Matt anyway. Harvey. Okay, very, very good.
I'm 84 years old, and I've broken most of my ribs twice through two accidents quite a while ago, and I've got over sciatica through acupuncture, which used to really run down my leg, but I have two herniated discs. They use my back x-ray as a teaching x-ray, and how do I know that? It was accidentally appeared to me when I decided not to have a back operation coming out of a hospital, and there was a doctor teaching three interns, and he was showing what was the matter with the back, and I was being polite not to come through that section. And he kept pointing, and I looked. I said, this guy's back's a wreck. My name was on the x-ray.
Ouch, that hurts. Did they pay you, Harvey?
They didn't pay me a nickel.
Rats. All right, go ahead, Doc.
So the question is, what do you do now, right?
What I'm doing now is I'm going to a physical therapist.
Okay.
And I have a, doctor or surgeon who practices down in Tarrytown, because it was recommended through somebody, through my brother.
So physical therapy.
So basically.
Okay, man, go, Harvey, and then we'll let the doc talk.
Okay, my back, the worst thing is like driving back from Maine, I couldn't drive.
Oh.
My lady had to drive because I had to take all sorts of positions. It's worse sitting down when the pain is there. It's enough to double you over. And now standing up if I have it. I don't have it today.
Hmm.
I'm starting to do some of these physical therapy exercises. I'm seeing her twice a week. And I feel very good after I see her. But I've still have been having the recurring, and on the x-ray, it shows that the two discs are herniated on the left side.
Gotcha.
The two bottom discs left.
All right, Harv.
I'm facing out, I'm saying left, okay? Someone not looking at me saying left.
I understand.
And that's where the ones that are herniated, and that's what this pain is coming from.
Okay.
I have x-rays of the whole back.
All right, show's almost over, Harvey, so let's let the doc weigh in here a little bit. Go ahead.
Hey, Harvey, thank you for the description there. So herniated discs can be incredibly painful, and usually they are worse with sitting, driving, things like that. Now, physical therapy is a good first step, so I'm glad that somebody recommended that to you as a first step. There are more steps beyond that that may be needed in your case. That might be something like injections. It sounds like you may have had an MRI. There's other things that you can certainly do.
I haven't had
do.
The MRI yet. It was prescribed to me. I would be taking that next, then getting an injection.
There you go. That's a good step, as well as possibly considering some medication. So it does sound like you're on the right path. It's just kind of slowly getting there, I know.
Yeah. All right, Harvey, thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551. That's our number. You know, Harvey, he's not an old man, but he's older. I know of a woman who is 20s and a runner and has disc herniations. I mean, isn't that a little young for that?
It can happen to all of us. It's partially genetic, so you can blame your parents a little bit based on the width of your spinal cord or however else. It's partially due to core strength, as we talked about earlier, lifting form, jobs and occupations, things that require you to bend a lot more can really put you at risk for it.
She's going under the knife, though. I mean, isn't that early for surgery?
That depends on the severity of it. So small disc herniations can heal up on their own. When you start to get bigger herniations, we actually name them things like extrusions, where it's difficult for that to really heal up. And if we try all these basic methods, things that we talked about, like physical therapy, medications, maybe injections, and we're just not getting there, going under the knife might be the way to go.
Dr. Matthew Irby is our guest from St. Peter's Sports and Spine and Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital. He's a physiatrist, and that's the topic today. Let's go to Niskayuna and Jeff. You're on.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Go ahead.
Hey, a little background. I got in a downhill mountain biking crash last year, went down hard on my right shoulder, hit my head very hard, ended up in the emergency room with a brain bleed. Fortunately, after seeing a neurologist, brain bleed went away on its own. I had a couple CTs, but my right shoulder still bothering me. I had an MRI. It showed bone on. Went to a doctor. They recommended a full replacement. My question's twofold. Number one, I'm still working out. I can't do military. There's some exercises in the gym that I can't do, but I'm still working out.
Yep.
Question number one, is that good? Question number two, is there an alternative to surgery? I do not want to go under the knife.
So, Jeff, it sounded like you cut out for a moment, but I think you said bone on bone is where I think you were going with that in terms of the arthritis. And it's a difficult question to answer when we get to severe arthritis, and that's usually what we describe as bone on bone. So arthritis is really kind of a varying degree of how narrow that joint is. Bone on bone arthritis, we do try to strengthen the rotator cuff. We try to strengthen the surrounding muscles to see if we can take the pressure off. There are, again, sometimes medication or injection options. But it can be challenging to manage when it's really severe for those. If they're not working, it might be talking to a surgeon. It sort of depends if you've tried those basic things yet or not, Jeff.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. At some point, if I guess all of us, if we live long enough, we'll have some part of arthritis, right? But if it's terrible, there's really not much you can do, right?
No, that's not necessarily the case. So we do have a lot of pain management options, a lot of things to reduce the pain and improve your function. Now, we are not going to make the x-ray look better. You might start seeing that those bones are getting narrower together. We're not taking x-rays to see if we rebuild that. That is not something that we're doing as of yet.
Right.
But there's a lot of options for managing the pain. There's different injections such as corticosteroid, different injections such as people here talk about the gel shot or hyaluronic acid. And then there's some regenerative injections that we're working on. And the goal is to manage and reduce the pain. It's not to be dependent on these injections. I tell people usually these injections are a bridge. And it's usually a bridge to strengthen the area so that your muscle's taking some of the weight so that you're not needing to use that stuff anymore.
So is it too much to say that a fairly large chunk of your job is pain management?
A decent amount. I would say about 90% of the patients that come in to see me have some form of pain, whether that's an acute injury or chronic pain in some way.
We're joined by Dr. Matthew Irby from St. Peter's Sports and Spine, and let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Diane is in Williamstown. Hi, Diane. You're up.
Yes, hi. I'm wondering how long it would take to get an appointment with Dr. Irby.
Oh, geez. You know what? We don't do referrals like this, Diane. I would say, why don't you give your website right now, and then we cannot get in trouble with the FCC, and then you're not booking appointments here on the show. So
no, I don't mean to book an appointment. It's just, would it be a month or would it be three months?
Oh, okay,
or six
fair
months?
Enough. That's a good general question.
That depends on who you're speaking with and which physician you're trying to see. We offer same day appointments. I don't know if that's something that's offered everywhere. So I can pretty much guarantee a new patient will get in within a week at most.
Oh, how about that? All right, Diane, thank you. I'm sorry for my trepidation, but, you know, the FCC license is important. Let's go to Edward in Springfield, Massachusetts. Edward.
Hello.
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 My question is, what is a Charlie horse? What causes it? And what relieves it?
That's a great question.
You want me to take this one? No, you go ahead.
If you know the answer,
no,
feel free to jump
in. I was
going to
make something up, but go ahead.
Charlie horses are usually muscular in nature. Now, it can be caused by a few things. It could be caused by a muscle strain. It could be caused by vitamin deficiencies or vitamin changes. Typically, to relieve Charlie horses, you have to get rid of whatever's causing it. So if it is something like a vitamin deficiency, making sure that that's addressed. If it's a muscle injury itself, a lot of times it's stretching or strengthening the muscle to make it a little more withstanding to whatever strain that you're putting it under.
What vitamins?
That would be a question for your primary care. There's a whole bunch that can cause Charlie horses.
All right. Well, thank you, Edward. I appreciate the call. I've kind of lost mine when I started drinking more water. I started having less Charlie horses that would wake me up in the middle of the night.
So, hydration is another big factor, yeah.
Let's go to Long Island. It's Paul. Hey, Paul, you're up.
Thanks, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, pretty well. How are you?
Fair to middle of them, I tell you.
Okay.
I want Dr. Matt, is there do you have an opinion with regards to what I thought was just a new way of marketing it, spinal decompression?
It sounds like you're referring to a surgery of spinal decompression. I try not to remark too much on the things I don't do. So what my job is to really help patients kind of get to a point where they can understand whether therapy, injections, medications, exercise programs are the answer, or whether we do need to get to a specialist like a neurosurgeon that can talk about a spinal decompression or an orthopedic surgeon. I generally don't try to answer the questions specifics because there's a lot of ways you can do those.
Paul, are you talking about those hanging upside down things you see on TV?
Well, it's similar, except that the points of attachment are different. One goes, there's like a belt that goes around your hips, and then other straps hold you just below the rib cage.
Huh. Thank you for the clarification.
It basically stretches you.
Yes, I thought you were referring to a spinal decompression surgery before, so I apologize for that.
So what do you think, Doc?
These stretching machines, they generally can feel good in the moment, but we do not have medical data that these are actually providing long-term relief for people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll get dizzy when I do that for too long. Paul, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Let's see. We only have a minute or so. So let's see who's been waiting longest. Looks like Marianne in Albany. Marianne, you'll have to make this fairly quick. Go ahead.
Yes. I have cervicogenic headaches and right along my occiput, and it kind of like comes to the bridge of my nose. And a massage therapist has helped. I'm at the point now where it just is, it feels kind of like numb. And I was wondering if injections or Botox along the occiput would help.
Okay.
It sounds like you're thinking along the right lines already. So cervicogenic headaches is certainly something we see a lot, can be caused by the structure of the bones themselves or compression of one of the nerves in the neck there. Now, there's a lot of nerves that run through there, so you do need to work up to figure out which ones are bothersome. That's something that certainly a physiatrist could look into, or neurologists can help you with that as well.
All right. Marianne, thanks a lot. All right, Dr. Matthew Irby, thank you for being on the show. Now, with the winter weather coming, how do I shovel properly?
Ah, that's a great question. You lift with your hips, not with your back, as they always say.
How do you lift with your hips?
Yep. Bend at the hips. Try not to flex the lumbar spine and bend forward too much.
It'll hurt my knees, though, right?
That's where you pay the college kid to shovel.
Okay, that's the right answer. Dr. Matthew Irby, thanks a lot for being here. Support comes from Patricia Fennell, keynoting a powerful paradigm for living with chronic illness for the Massachusetts MECFS and FM Association annual event, recorded for viewing, albanyhealthmanagement.com. Thanks again to Dr. Matthew Irby of St. Peter's Sports and Spine and Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital for joining us today. Thank you for listening. A zillion calls. Sorry if we didn't get to yours or one of the many emails that we just didn't get to. We'll do the topic again and we'll do it within the next, 6 months or so. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who's here every day. He's our trusty engineer. Bob Rathbun screened the calls. Well done, sir. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, our long, long trek is almost over. It's Election Day tomorrow. We'll welcome our news director, Ian Pickus, to sort it out. That's tomorrow at 2. Should be an interesting day. We'll see you then.